Hey everyone, this is Isaac Maddox, and I'm the pastor of Activate Church, and this is our podcast. Remember, you can subscribe to our podcast and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram. I hope this message blesses you, encourages you, builds your faith, and I hope you enjoy the message.
Yeah. Okay. Listen, now Nicole, you know, you've been saved for about 3 days now, so... Okay, we're going down with an official hot dog miracle. Okay, official. Listen, I don't know what God's doing in this church. I wanted angels. I want gold teeth. I wanted feathers to fall like Bethel. But we got hot dogs, so. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? But when you need a dog, you need a dog. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 10. Come on, we're so thankful. Pastor TJ and Corey for leading camp and all of the leaders and all the people. Thank you for just being a part and making camp possible. So a lot of us could just drop off our kids and you guys just filled them up and brought them into the presence of God, which is just an incredible, incredible miracle. Camp is not the end, it's the beginning. It's the launching pad for the year. And so the difference between a cult and a culture, the word cult is in culture. But there's sometimes a fine line. Some people come into church like, man, y'all like, woo, amen, it's not a cult. But there's a culture of church. There's a culture. A culture is invitational. A cult is command, like you've got to do this, and you have to do this, and you have to do that. But there's a culture of church. Get your kids into church. And again, don't be cult-like about it. But yeah, like never use church as a discipline. If they act up, take their phone. Amen. Do something. Don't. I hear about that. Like, well, they can't go to church this week. Don't do that. Bring them into the house of God. Bring them into the presence of God. And the more you're in the presence of God, this becomes normal. The Holy Spirit becomes normal. And the spirit of this world gets, you're like, that's irritating to me. Amen. It's like, it's true. Carrie was a banker, and she was around real money, and they train you. They don't have to be trained in counterfeit money. I don't know if you've heard that analogy. I heard a youth pastor preach that. I was like, Ugh. But when Carrie, you know, she worked at the bank, she said, it's true. I'm like, it's true. You know, I put more faith in Carrie than my youth pastor. But she said, when you're around real money all the time and you feel a counterfeit, you can, ooh. And so get around the Holy Spirit. Get your kids around the presence of God. Get them around the real thing. And they'll detect a different spirit. And they will not want a lesser spirit. Amen? Come on, I came to preach this morning. You ready? We're just encouraging everyone to get a real Bible. Someone say a real Bible. Get away from the screens. Get the book. Get the Bible. Get the book. Get a notebook. Take notes. I know I feel like I'm in youth pastor mode, but I'm in discipleship mode. And I invite you in and to getting away from the screens a little bit. Amen. I'm just so thankful for camp and so thankful that you came to church this morning. Are you ready for the word of God? Yes. We're on a series called I'm a Follower of Jesus. Get a t-shirt, let people know. I love it. I love you know, wearing church merch around and just it does start conversations at times. I wore around, I believe in miracles and it's just an opportunity to wherever you go to invite people into this world. Some people have never tasted of the presence of God, and we're inviting them in to the family, into the house of God. And so we're on a series, and we've been looking at the woman at the well, and I want to dip into some prayer thoughts and some practical things. So I'm going to preach today on 100 points to a powerful prayer life. You know me, like I do. I get all teachy and systematic on you. No, I just want to impart some stuff that hopefully will never leave you. Amen. Luke chapter 10. I'm good. Just someone chopped an onion up here somewhere. Luke 10:38. This is the prelude to Luke chapter 11, which is the famous portion on prayer. And I believe this is one thought. Luke chapter 10. Verse 38, as Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem. They came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Someone say welcome. I want to speak this morning on how to welcome God. Have you welcomed God into your world? Are you someone who is continually welcoming God into your world? Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing, and she came to Jesus and said, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me." But the Lord said to her, "My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There's only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." Luke 11, once Jesus was in a certain place. So we start with Mary praying, Mary at the feet of Jesus, and now we see Jesus at the foot of the Father. Once Jesus was in a certain place praying, as he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, "Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray." It's not condemnation to need teaching on prayer. It's actually the cry of a prayer when you're around prayer. So this church is experiencing hunger. This isn't a youth movement. This is an Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob thing. This is a generational movement. When people ask me my theology on worship, I just say, just go to the book of Psalms. That's my manual. It's 150 chapters of clapping and dancing and shouting. And it's not a charismatic thing. It's not a youth thing. It's just a Bible thing. It's a King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I'm just a normal dude from California that fell in love with Jesus. And it's like, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I mean, are you kidding me? There's no other reason to live except for Jesus. And so we're simply just a bunch of sinners saved by grace that come together and put some musical instruments together, because that's what David did. And music is a part of worship, and we praise because praise goes first. Judah goes first. Jericho came down by praise and worship. And so we're learning. Every generation is a rediscovery of the gospel. It's a rediscovery of revival. It's a bunch of just people. Revival is whatever. It's just a word that says a bunch of people and friends and families and community got saved at one time, because that's God. He's a father. He's into family. He's into church. And that's why I don't just go to church, the church. Church should have an address on it. Your marriage should have a name on it. Sometimes we're way too spiritual. I've just given God everything. Those are people typically that don't give God anything. I pray all day. No, you don't. What do you mean you pray all day? Sure, I understand that. But when do you pray? Get specific with it. This is a time and a season to get specific. And some of us, there's just so many Buddhist Christians. And I love the Buddhists. I don't love Buddha. I love the people. they're not really Buddhists. They're just people trying to escape the harshness of life. That's what nirvana is. That's what Buddhism is. It's disconnection. I'm into connection. But you got to connect with the right God, the living God. There's one God. Amen. I feel like I'm already preaching, so I apologize. It's just youth camp week. It's just youth camp week. There's some young people. Some young people will never be the same again. Amen. Eternity was impacted. And so we're a part of eternally significant things. And so there's times that you have to recognize that you're not recognized. There's times that you got to recognize, son, that you're not in charge. You don't get to dictate the moving of the Holy Spirit. I don't want a weenie roast miracle. No, but that's what God gave us. He's in control. He's leading and he's guiding. And so my prayer life is I come before him and submit and say, "Lord, here I am." Not, "God, I'm here. Come over here." He's trying to move me while I'm trying to move him. But the Rock of Ages wins. I tried to prove that I could eat Cinnabons every day. Run for my... You know when you're running, you feel like just ripped? I do. When I run... Do you notice, like, all the dudes in our youth group are, like, chiseled? Single ladies? Well, hold on. Those are young boys. This is getting weird. Hold on. Just, I don't know what I'm talking about. Good job. Stay healthy. like, that guy, Lord Jesus. We're stubborn. And after a while, you'll go, "God, I'm going to submit to your ways." And get a Bible. Amen. All right, Luke chapter 10. I already read all that. Amen. Is God welcome in your life? That's what I want to preach on this morning. Is God welcome in your life? Yes, he is. Of course he is welcome in my life. Welcoming God isn't W-E-L-C-O-M-E. Is it? Am I good? Okay. I've had a few zipper malfunctions in this church, so he looks good. That is a cool graphic. All right, focus on Jesus, Johnny. Here we go. Here we go. Is he welcome in your life? Not W-E-L-C-O-M-E. I mean, is he welcome? I used to make fun of Benny Hinn's book, you know, welcome, Holy Spirit. Like, all right, well, he's already here. It's amazing to me as Christians how theological we get stuck in things and so distracted that we miss Jesus passing by us. And have we become Pharisees where we are, Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? Have we gotten so stuck sometimes into theology because of hurt, because of journey, that we're stuck arguing something that Jesus wants to heal us from, and he wants to move in your life today. Amen. I feel very revivally. I feel very youth pastor. I feel very fatherly today to lead you to the feet of Jesus. Amen. All right, let's go there. Thank you, Jesus. We just welcome you, God, into our lives. Lord, we put everything else aside. For so many of us, God, we've come to a place of Egypt. And when we're in famine, Egypt was a place of provision. I speak this prophetically now. Egypt saved you, Jacob. He saved you, Joseph. He saved you. But now, it has become a place. Of bondage. Just let it go. Doesn't mean it didn't matter. Doesn't mean it didn't save you. But now God wants to bring you in to the promised land. And so God, we let go of our pet doctrines and our, doesn't mean it's not biblical doctrine. We let go of maybe certain little pet projects and little pet peeves about the church and pet just judgment. I don't like when they play songs like that. 5 years ago, you were right, but now it's bondage. I can do this. Yes, 5 years ago, but not now. He's calling you out. He's bringing you out. He's saying, let's go in. Let's go in. Let's let go so we can hold on to something new. We welcome you in this place. We welcome you into our lives. We don't just say it. We want that genuine, authentic invitation from the master to come in and take over, that we might just follow simply after Jesus. And everybody shouted a big amen. Amen. All right. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to tell the story, hopefully for the last time, maybe 10 more times, but maybe for the last time. I feel like I repeat myself, but I tell these stories, some of my favorite stories, and people are like, what? I didn't know that. I didn't know you had a bomb on your plane. And I'm like, I had a bomb on my plane on this flight. My kids asked me the other day, and I was like, you didn't remember the story? You're not listening when I preach. We're like, no, Dad, we never heard of that story. I'm like, all right, I'm going to tell that story 1 or 10 more times. We'll see. We'll see. But that's why if I am on the plane with you and I have turbulence and I start to just, Lord Jesus, here I am. I mean, first of all, turbulence does feel like you're dying. It does. I mean, for me at least. Lord, here we are. I just enter into the gates right now. And it's because I had a bomb on my plane, and I'm still dealing with certain fears. I need healing. But we were in Spain on this mission trip. We're going to fly to Israel, and I'm on Iberian Airlines. So just to let you know, if you don't want to fly Iberian, you know, I wouldn't, but please, you can if you want. I don't even know if they exist anymore. We're there having dinner, and we're playing some games, playing cards, and the stewardess, they start running up and down the aisles, which immediately, I'm not the smartest cookie in the, but sharpest. That's not good. Like, this isn't good, right? I'm like, okay. And then they started yelling in Spanish, over the loudspeaker, and this lady starts grabbing our heads and like putting us into like the crass position. And it's, I have a gift of discernment, and I was like, I turned to my neighbor, I said, this is not good, something's wrong. That's about as good as some prophets in the church now, but. So I put my head down, and I looked up, and the plane just went, phoom, and it started making this, and I remember from the movies, and I was like, oh my goodness, and it's just going down. No, we landed somewhere outside of Italy in this field, and it was just like out of the movies, man. They pop the thing, we jump on the little slide, and the whole thing, and there was a bomb in the under part of the plane, and we had to stay there for a few days, and it was like a big deal. I couldn't hear for days because they didn't depressurize enough. And I just remember, you know, listening to that noise, and I can't really make it. I can't really make it right. It's not. That's like a motorcycle. I don't know. Yeah. And I just remember it felt like a year. It was just like, I mean, I was praying my best prayers, man. I was bombarding heaven, right? Because, I don't know, I was like 16. And it was like, man, this is it. This thing could just go up. It's life and death right here. It's real. And it's very intense. And I wanted to speed up time. Have you ever tried to speed up time? You've been in a situation? You can talk to me. That you ever speed up time? It's good. It's all right. It's good for you to use those vocal cords. You're in church. It's a lot of friends. There's only a couple of weirdos in here. You're fine. And but you try to speed up time. Anybody try to slow down time? I'm trying to slow down time right now. I feel like life is just this freight train. Just on. It's just, I can't slow down my kids. I can't slow down certain vacations. I remember being in fifth period English class, and you're staring at the clock. And you're just like, come on. You ever try? Ugh. And it's just like slower. And you're just like, I need to get out of here. And then, you know, you're trying to get to Christmas break. Or I remember this one vacation. It was like the perfect vacation. It was, we're on our way to Sun River. And it was just, have you ever been on a vacation? I've had like one of these. But you just like where everything was like out of a movie. Like you show up and your whole family is there greeting you. Like you're the one that gets greeted. And everybody's like not fighting. Everyone's smiling. The weather's like, you know, 79, 80, you know, Sun River, it's just perfect. It's just perfect. And Dad's grilling steaks, medium or medium rare. My dad's just got steaks on the grill. Usually I have to go to the store, but Dad's cooking steaks while we come up. You know, Mom's got a little apron on and she's baking bread. I'm like, Mom doesn't even bake. But on this vacation, she's baking, of course, right? And then golfers are going by. I love talking to Australians or somebody that, you know, what's Sun River? I'm like, it's a place with houses and in bike trails and golf courses. And I'm like, what do you do? I'm like, I don't know. It's great. It's fun. We sit around and it's fun. We drink coffee and watch golfers, you know, I don't know. But everything was perfect. And it just went like really fast. And I remember driving home, me and Carrie and I, and we were in the car and it was like over. I was like, oh no, I didn't soak it in. Like another year of work to get that. And I remember getting stressed, like, it just happened to me, and I didn't soak it in. So then I became a professional soaker. Like, every good moment, I'm like, right? I'm just like, it's like, trying to soak. We're out on, like, a perfect date night. She's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm soaking. And then I didn't even enjoy moments because I was trying to soak. And I'm like, well, this is lame. So trying to speed up time or trying to slow it down is very difficult. And so we see Jesus, and it says that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, and yet he stops to have dinner with Mary and Martha. He has purpose. He's on his way to Jerusalem, but he's present with Mary and Martha at dinner. Is that not the hope of every single one of us, is that we can have purpose, but we can also be present? I want to be present to take in and be where I'm at,
And yet, I don't want to just be someone that hangs out, just bro hangs, talks about football, and talks about high school, and is so stuck in the past. But I want to be present with the people that I'm in, and yet I want to have purpose. And that's Jesus. He's on a mission. He's going to Jerusalem, but he's able to stop and have dinner and let Mary sit at his feet while he just teaches. And he seems to have a mundane moment, a powerful moment, and yet he's on his way to the cross. He's full of purpose. He's not just trying to get to something or through something. He is present yet full of purpose. I want to be present and full of purpose. Say that to yourself. I want to be present and full of purpose. The next camp I go to, and it's Wednesday night, I don't want to just wish it was Friday night. I want to enjoy Wednesday night. I want it the next thing I show up to, the next work retreat, I don't want to just try to get through something. I want to be there and be available, and yet I'm on a mission. I have purpose. I have purpose. Prayer, I believe, is the great missing key to be able to understand and be able to pull off being present and being full of purpose. It's the great filter for my today. So when you wake up and you pray and you are welcoming God, you are inviting God, you are submitting to God, it isn't some euphorical sort of subjective experience. No, it happens within space and time. To be present is to be present at 6:15. It's to be present at 7 o'clock. It's to come to church at night. We don't just have church. Again, some Christians are so spiritual. It's like, when's church? We just gather. The Spirit just gathers us. No, at 9 and 11. So when do you pray? I believe in you, so I won't sell you short. There's an hour of prayer in your life. There's an hour of prayer. We have 24 hours in a day, and I'm not someone who, hey, could you just pray 5 minutes? No, I believe in you too much to sell you short. There's greatness in you. And prayer is this wild roller coaster of you start praying for your bills, you start praying for your marriage, and all of a sudden burdens start lifting, and it's just emotional. Then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit literally like transports you into 10 years down the road, and he drops something in your spirit. Because see, when you're full of purpose, it allows you to be present. And when you're present, it allows you to be full of purpose. Because even right now, there's present and then there's purpose. There's eternity and there's time, and they're colliding together at one moment. And that's why in one moment, your best moments, your best fire night, fireside chats, your best dinner dates, your best are when you are present, but you're also being bombarded with a little glimpse of tomorrow. Because tomorrow shouldn't have worry in it. Tomorrow should have excitement and hope and vision and purpose. And when you're full of purpose and you're going somewhere and you're called and you're destined, you're able then to be present, because you're not in a hurry, because you know he holds tomorrow in his hands and he's going before you to open up doors and close doors. So when you're full of purpose, you're able to be, hey, how you doing? But you can't say, hey, how you doing? Because you're gonna, no, that's good. That's great. Whoa, gotta, whoa. Gotta get moving. Gotta get moving. No, but I don't gotta get moving. I feel like I have tap shoes on. I don't have to. And I can also leave this present moment and not stay too long, because I'm not trying to go back. I'm not trying to relive. I'm going forward. I've got purpose. Prayer might be the missing key for you on how to be present with your kids in church and be full of purpose. Prayer is this an hour of prayer brings and allows me to lay everything at the feet of Jesus. Young people, hear me. Even on my honeymoon, I prayed, and that was difficult because Carrie, she had some things on and she was trying to lure me and tempt me into the other room. And I said, sorry, sons. I've got to meet with Jesus. Trust me, babe. I know you got needs, but I've got to come before the Father, because the best life, the best sex. These my kids are going crazy over here. I got the mic, boys. Deal with it. What Christians don't understand about purity, purity isn't I can't. Purity is I can. Purity is that God's called me to something. And even on my, you prayed on your honeymoon? Yeah, because I want the best sex. I want the best honeymoon. And Carrie's not going to get the best version of me until I spend an hour with Jesus, because I can't be present without presenting to him my day, my tomorrow, my life, my everything, and then she can have the rest. But I cannot live presently. You mean you pray at Christmas Eve? Why would I want a Christmas Eve with carrying all the burdens? That's why Christians, we have the worst vacations sometimes. We have the worst summers because we don't understand that we've tasted of heavenly things, but we walk away from them during the summer or during holidays, so we have to come to church to get filled up. This shouldn't be a place you just get filled up. This ought to be a place that you pour into people that are hungrier than you and thirstier than you, because I've got purpose, and so when I pray, he helps me filter through all of my stuff, all of my crazy, all of my selfish, all of my burdens. And once I pray for an hour from 5:30 to 6:30 or 7, now I'm ready for the day. Only prayer allows me to be present and full of purpose at the same time. So prayer allows me to be with Jesus. And I love this in Philippians 4:6. It says, so don't worry, don't fear, don't be insecure. Instead, I love this word, the NLT. Instead, pray. I love that. Instead of all the things you're doing to soak in the moment, to be excited about your purpose, just pray. Just pray. And some of you, I almost was going to do a theological deep dive on the hour of prayer. And so maybe we'll do that some other time, because I love deep dives. I love to unpack. Everybody's unpacking nowadays. Let's unpack that. But when you look at scripture, some of you are looking for like a Hezekiah 3:19, pray an hour. Let's all grow up and become New Testament Christians, where Jesus does not reveal, it's not the Old Testament. So he'll reveal this New Testament theology, and you'll see it in David. And you'll see it in Jesus. And you'll see this pattern of New Testament prayer of an hour was at least what they did before even the sun came up. It's believed that David, you know when David wrote Awaken the Dawn? He said, I want to awaken the dawn. It's believed he was so passionate to wake up before the sun came up that he built this wind chime. David built over 10 instruments himself. And he wasn't, you know, he wasn't a craftsman, but he figured out how to do it. And he built this wind chime because the breeze would come over Bethlehem and the breeze would start before the sun came up. And so it hit that, whoo, it would hit that wind chime. And we have alarm clocks that we can't set. Just some perspective. And hit the wind chime. And before that sun would come up, David would say, I will awaken the dawn. I will seek God. Before something else comes after my faith, before something else tells me who I am, I will dictate today who I am by the grace of God. I am by faith waking up today. I am by faith saying today is the day that the Lord has made. I, before anything happens today, I'm a child of God. Before anything happens today, I'm going to lift up the name above every. Before the plans of the devil come at me, I'm making some plans. That's what I'm talking about a prayer life that's real and present and purposeful, authentic, and tangible. You can find me at my house at 5:30. I don't just pray with the fairies. And I don't love Carrie with fairy dust. No, I'm taking her to dinner tonight. That was real. This is so hard to preach. Lord, demons are coming out. Demons are coming out. Thank you, Jesus. Prayer allows me to be present. It allows me to be present. That's why I love Bill Hybels' book, Too Busy Not to Pray. when you talk to people, hey, did you pray? Hey, how was your prayer time yesterday? Oh, so busy, right? Can I get a knuckle? No. No. I love you too much. That is stupid. You're too busy not to pray. You're too busy not to go to camp. You're too busy not to come to church, to be around praying people. When you're around praying people, you're going to want to pray. When you're around lustful people, you want to get your lust on. It's true. Like, you go to the gym. I can't believe guys still say the weirdest jokes. Same in high school. When people say that stuff.
That's what she said. Like, look at that. I'd tap that.
I mean, who talks like that? People talk like that. Look at that. Look at what? You gross pervert? What are you doing? But when you get around lustful people, they just want to lust. When you get around a man of God, you want to be a man of God. When you get around praying people, you want to pray. That's why you got to come to church, because when you're around praying people, and we're about to get into the place where the disciples were around Jesus and they wanted to pray because they're around someone seeking God. That's the problem. So Martha, Jesus is on purpose. Jesus is present. And Martha welcomes Jesus in. Now, this is what's so difficult, because we serve a God that's so amazing and so incredible and so audacious, so powerful, that we come to believe that Jesus will always do what he just wants to do. He saves us, but then he wants a relationship with us. And we need to move into reciprocity in this relationship. And so we need to welcome him. Jesus did not knock down the door. Jesus did not say, I'm coming in. Ready or not? I'm going to huff. I'm going to puff. No. He's on purpose. And Mary welcomes him. Someone say, welcome. But Mary welcomes him into her home. So church is a welcome. When you come to church, you don't just say welcome, you do welcome. Now, James says this in James, the brother of Jesus, in the book of James. He says, let your yes be yes. And what that means is let your words be yes and let your lifestyle be yes. So you can say, well, you're welcome, Lord. You're welcome, Holy Spirit, in my life. And that's a good start. And then it's authenticated through your lifestyle of welcome. When you say, I mean it. One of the greatest welcomes is an hour of prayer in the morning. That's why the enemy will fight. I think one of the most resisted things on the planet is a daily prayer life. We can prove it by talking testimonies in this room on how much the struggle is for it. But once you break through that, it is the ultimate welcome of, there you are at 6 in the morning, and you are saying, you are welcome in my life. You are welcome to my past to wash it. You're welcome to my present. It is the ultimate. Here's my marriage. Here's my kids. Here's my tomorrow. Here's my future. Here's my finances. I mean, when you spend an hour with God, it is one of the greatest welcomes and invitations of Jesus into your life in the most authentic way. When you praise Jesus, it's a welcome. When you worship, it's a welcome. When you open up your Bible, it's a big old welcome. Speak to me, Lord. Come up out of the pages and talk to me. When you use your gifts and you pray for people, it's a welcome. We talk about it being a demand on the anointing. When you put your hands, in a few minutes, maybe you go pray for somebody. When you lay your hands on someone, you don't necessarily know what Jesus is going to do. What you're doing is you're welcoming him. When you go to camp, it's a welcome. It's a, Lord, I submit myself to you. Would you come on in to my life? Would you come on in and just do whatever you're going to do? What's he going to do? I don't know. But when you pray for someone, you're saying, Lord, would you take over this moment? A moment of faith is a welcome. Faith without a welcome is dead. Faith without works is dead. A work is a big old welcome. Worship is a big old welcome. Prayer is a big old welcome. Opening up the Bible is a big old welcome. Inviting someone to church is a welcome. When you preach the gospel, you are saying, Lord, I'm stepping out and welcoming you in to this moment to do what only you can do, and I'm willing to stop and invite you into this moment with this person that you would come and take over. It's a welcome. Someone say welcome. It's a welcome. When I pray for people, it's a welcome. I don't know what's going to happen, but when you get used to welcoming Jesus, oh, it's so addictive because you know he's going to show up. But without a welcome, he might pass me by. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. We welcome you in this place. That's why this church is going to a place of hunger like it never has. It's a place of desperation like we never have. It's not hype. It's not weird. It's not emotionalism. It's a welcome. You are welcome in this place. Heaven, you are welcome. Would you come and heal? Would you come and save? Would you come and heal? Would you come and touch? Would you come? You're welcome in this place. From the first note to every coffee, to every kids' church, every story, everything we do, every baptism, every video. Lord, you're welcome. Just say that. You're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome in this place. Just welcome him in. Just welcome him in here. Just let you welcome. You're welcome. I invite you. I invite you into my world. You're welcome. You're welcome. Martha, welcome Jesus into her life, into her home. He needs to be invited. Revelation says he stands at the door and knocks. He's knocking. Now, this reciprocity of follow me, of initiation and response, is often like a marriage. It's a divine romance. It's, did you bring that up or did I? How many times did you think you brought something up, but it was actually your spouse or it was a friend? We actually thought we started the word myrrh. We used to say myrrh a lot. Anyways, this is just missing everybody. That's okay. Come back next Sunday. I promise you, it'll be better. But then we were watching this show. I think it was called New Girl or something, and she was like myrrh. I was like, oh, shoot. I think we got it from her. Like, with Jesus, you don't know. Did he say that? Did I say that? Think about the woman at the well. Jesus started some of the conversation. Then she would jump over to worship. Then he would jump over. The idea is reciprocity. But we must welcome him and invite him and open up the door and let him come on in. He will not force himself. He will not demand it. That's why we have to learn to be welcome. And for some of us, we think this is just a charismatic experience. This is not. Hunger is required. Welcoming him is required. We call it prayer, but I want you to hear prayer in a new way, to understand that he's positioning us to go where we've never gone before. And it requires that welcome, that authentic welcome, that our church is the place. I'm not in competition with any other church in this city. Hear me. I'm not in competition. We're not in competition with anybody. I pray every church, we need every church that's existing and coming to save this city. I will tell you this. I have a mandate on my life. That like David, I serve my generation and then die. The Bible says that David served his generation and then breathed his last. The gospel must be preached, and not just preached, but people come into family, into the church. There is no other plan B. He said he's building his church, and the church is a house of prayer. The church is a place that knows how to follow after Jesus. The church is a hospital and a gym. That if you bring someone in here, that we got to lead them to the feet of Jesus and be surrounded upon people that know how to welcome Jesus into their marriage and into their finance and into their kids and into their house and into their car and into every aspect of their life. That it's a church that knows how to welcome the presence and word of Jesus. Somebody shout unto God and give him some praise to welcome with a spirit of faith. That's all it is. It's a welcome. It's a welcome. Not everybody welcomes him. But this is what we're going after. It's simply Martha.
Welcome Jesus. Welcome Jesus. I welcome him. It's not works. I'm not saved by works, but my faith works. My faith welcomes him. And God is teaching us this. He will not give us greater miracles, though, without the pathway of prayer, without relationship. See, you might need a miracle in your marriage, and God might grant you some grace, but what he will teach you is relationship. Because relationship is really what you want. Can you handle this? I've prayed for Carrie a lot. Lord, would you just maybe tidy that up? She's even admitted that she struggles with that. And so God's like, I'm going to work on that in the meantime. Paul, I'm going to cause you to be weak so you can relate. And since you saw that, I want you to help carry that and heal that. Jesus is in the crosses. He's in the crosses. He's like, pick up your cross and follow me. Pick it up and follow me. So relationship. It's not works. It's relationship. So all revival will be preceded by prayer. So he's teaching us prayer. He's teaching us the welcome. He's teaching us relationship. So Martha welcomes him in. Worship team can come up. And he teaches us the welcome because that's what he does when he sends us out in Luke chapter 10, verse 8, when he sent the disciples, he said, hey, and when you go wherever you're welcomed. And if they reject you, just shake off the dust. Because when Jesus teaches us the welcome, then we learn that wherever I'm welcomed, I'll preach the gospel. Now, there's times I've been on the aggressive side of evangelism. And there's times I've been on the cool side. And I want to be more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Because I know there's some times I've backed up because I don't want to be rejected. And we live in this thing, I think it's the Northwest, I don't know, we don't want to offend people. And so I can sense maybe when the Holy Spirit's opening up someone's heart. And the Holy Spirit's like, man, go in, share your story. Tell them about church. And I walk away. And it's like, that was a welcome. It's like, okay, wherever you're welcome. And the Bible says that Mary sits at the feet of Jesus. So we have Jesus on purpose being present. We have Martha welcoming Jesus. And then we have Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Mary's sitting at the feet of Jesus. Only because Martha invited Jesus into the home. So before we go any further, you need to understand that the only reason you can sit at the feet of Jesus is because a Martha in your life invited Jesus at the first place into the home. And it's the ultimate posture of humility to realize that I'm able to sit at the feet of the Master and hear him teach and be presence driven and be guided by the Holy Spirit. Because a Martha let him in to the home. That my prayer life, what precedes my prayer life, is that someone else welcome Jesus into the house. And the only reason is because someone else prayed. I'm here and you're here because someone else prayed. Someone else worked. Someone else went to church. Someone else walked away from their past and started anew and gave their life to Jesus Christ. Someone else worshiped. Someone else gave. Someone else sacrificed in order for me to be here. And though Martha's not perfect and Jesus is about to help her and direct her and correct her, I don't want to be distracted that the Marthas in my life aren't perfect. But the truth of it is Mary, I wouldn't even be able to sit here at the feet of Jesus if it wasn't for a Martha in my life that opened the door and welcomed Jesus into my family. I know mom and dad's not perfect. I know granddad's not perfect. I know the church isn't perfect, but I'm here because someone went
before me and invited Jesus into their life, and that changed me forever. That I'm able to sit here in the posture of humility and submission. But prayer is the posture of I'm here. This is a secondary invite. Someone else. Because we get so prideful and think, well, I've chosen the good part. There's a little bit of, come on, there's had to be a little part of Mary that went. That sibling rivalry. You know, when mom and dad chose you, like, yeah, I think you're right. You're like, there's a little part of us that likes to audit our family and audit the church and audit everything. And somehow in our minds, we become the knight in shining armor and the person that's pure and holy and truthful in our family. But Mary was only able to sit at the feet of Jesus because Martha welcomed her into the house, Jesus into the house. I'm here because of the people that have gone before me. I'm here because of the youth pastors that got a hold of me. And what this does is this shows me the thread of sovereignty throughout my life. How much God loves you. And how much he's planned. And how much he's put into your entire destiny. That he's setting you up to sit at the feet of Jesus. He doesn't justify Martha. He's not saying everybody that helped you in your life is perfect. But he's saying you are here because of them. You are here because of a Martha inviting Jesus into the house. Which allows you to sit at the feet of Jesus, which allows you to hear from the Master, which allows you to go into Scripture. For time and eternity, Mary is beautified in Scripture. So anything beautiful, anything wonderful, anything awesome in my life is because of a sovereign God weaving a thread throughout my life, throughout the generations, of getting me ready to receive something that I've built upon. I've built upon the foundations of people that have gone before me. And in prayer, it's the ultimate act of humility to understand that anything I have is because someone else invited Jesus into their world. Somebody else invited Jesus. Someone else precedes my faith. Someone else gave me the ability to pray the way I pray. Someone else paved the path in getting to church, and they probably paid a higher sacrifice than me. I remember my dad's car breaking down so many Sundays on the way to church. My dad would cut meat at night. He'd paint houses during the day. He went to Bible college, and that's why there's times before we go too much further in receiving the fullness. And I'm telling you, God is getting you ready to receive the fullness of why he created you. It's just for a moment to understand with humility that I am building on top of people that have gone before me. And without the praying grandmas, and without the pastors, and without the churches, and without the sacrifice, and without the saints that have gone before me, I wouldn't be able to sit at the feet of Jesus. Are you welcoming him? Are you waiting? I wouldn't be able to wait here if someone else didn't welcome him. I'm able to sit here. And even Jesus had John the Baptist. Even Jesus, his ministry was built on someone else's ministry. Even Jesus had John go before him and make straight paths. Even Jesus was called out by John. Behold, the Lamb. Remember the story of the Jordan? John the Baptist pointed out Jesus. There he is, the Lamb. He saw the Holy Spirit. And he calls Jesus forward. Jesus, the Lamb of heaven. John calls him forward. Jesus comes into the waters of the Jordan with John. And he's like, what's up, cuz? What's up, cuz? How you doing? And John's like, baptize me. Baptize me. And Jesus said, no, for prophecy to be fulfilled, John, you got to baptize me. And John's like, it doesn't make any sense. I just have water from the River Jordan. You baptize with fire. I can't even tie your shoes, Jesus. And yet Jesus is showing us he's honoring the ministry of the one that went before him to prepare the way for him. To say, I'm coming. I'm here because you went and prepared the way for even the lamb that would come and take away the sins of the world. And so John baptizes him, and even John's disciples would eventually leave him and become Jesus' disciples. See, what you have and what you're building upon is a foundation of some Marthas that welcomed Jesus and welcomed the Holy Spirit and welcomed peace and welcomed worship and welcomed redemption into your family, into your lineage, into your ministry, into your spirit. I'm here because someone else welcomed the Master into the home. My prayer life is predicated upon humility, that I am who I am because of so many that gone before me. And what I'm about to receive is someone else's. I love this. It says in Joshua 24:13, that when God gets ready to move in your life, see, this is more than just being thankful. This is more than just, Lord, I thank you for preparing and blessing me. This is, not only is God about to show you all of the things he has brought about to make you and to set you up and to bless you, that you're going to receive some of those things that have gone before you that you don't even deserve. That's why this is a posture of humility and faith. This is what God told Joshua. I'm going to give you land that you hadn't worked on and give you towns you did not build and the towns where you are now living. I give you vineyards and olive groves, though you did not plant them. God's saying, I'm getting you ready to not only understand the thread of sovereignty in your life. Not only should you be dead or in prison or even jacked up in your mind, the fact that you're even thinking right and breathing right and living right is because of the sovereign hand of God on your life. And some of you need to shout a big amen to the hand of God. I know you're not where you want to be, but you sure are where you used to be. But God is saying, I'm showing you the hand of God on your life. And not only that, but I'm going to give you what you didn't even plan. I'm going to give you other people's faith and other people's ministry and other people's stuff. You didn't even plan it, but I'm going to bring it into your life. Get ready. Get ready. I'm going to give you faith that you didn't plan. Get ready. I'm going to give you joy that you didn't even have any part of. I'm gonna give you worship. I'm gonna give you ministry. I'm gonna give you gifting that you had nothing to do with. But it was someone else's prayer. It was someone else's work. Some of you, your spirit's opening up. This is for you right here. I know you look at your past and you look at what you've done. God said, let it go. When you humble yourself and you sit at the feet of Jesus, you recognize that you are the product of generations of prayer and generations of missionaries and generations of pastors and generations of intercessors and generations of people. When you start to let go of what Martha did to you or what she said about you, and you begin to see the sovereign thread, God says it's time to let go and to grab hold of the new, because what I'm doing in you is new and fresh. I'm about to give you faith and prayer that you didn't even plant and you didn't even sow. God's gonna give it to you. He's 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 gonna give it to you. When you learn to welcome and you understand that you are here because of someone else's welcome. Someone else's welcome. He said, I want you to know that when you start to welcome him into your life, your welcome is going to impact the generations to come. Just like you were impacted, you're about to be impacted. You're about to impact your kids. Every prayer that you pray is a welcome that's going to impact your kids. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Every time you open up the Bible, you impact the region. I want you to know this is not ooky, spooky, over spiritual stuff. You gotta understand, we are in a spiritual battle. We don't fully understand it, But the principalities and powers over this region don't want to give up Camas and Washougal. They don't want half this city to be in church, to be praying, to be fulfilling their God-given life and destiny. But every time you open up the Bible, it's a welcome that shoots forward into the future. That future young people and future co-workers and future family. Every time you pray, it's a welcome that goes forward. Every time you open up the Bible, it's a welcome that goes forward. Come on, somebody help me preach this. Every time you invite someone to church, it's a welcome that cracks open the heavens in this region. Every time you lift your hands, it's a welcome that goes forward. Every time you pray, every time you worship, every time you sing, every time, it's a welcome that impacts the generations of your family. Welcome it. Welcome it. If you need to give your life to Jesus, just lift your hand up. If you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, you believe in the Holy Spirit, but you don't know if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. If you want to speak in tongues, just lift your hand up. If you need a miracle in your body, just lift your hand up. If you know in this season that you want this, you're going in all prayer, you're going all in with prayer, just lift your hand up. This is your season. This is your season. This is your season to move into a welcome that you've never had before. And I'm here to let you know that your welcome is about to work. Your faith is about to work. Some of you have the gift of healing. Some of you have the gift of prophecy. Some of you have the gift of leadership. God want me to tell you that He's getting ready to unlock it and cause it to work as you welcome Him in a way that you never have. It's about to work. It's about to work. If you lifted your hand, just come on. Just come on. Come up to the altar. If you lifted your hand, just get up here. I want to pray with you. Step out of your seat. Step out of your seat. If you lifted your hand, come up here. Come up to the altar. Come on. If this is your season of prayer, come on up. Come on up. Come on. Let the fire of the Holy Spirit. 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 Bring it down just a little bit. But keep that going. Keep that going. We're getting ready to do something. I want you to begin to, by the power of the Holy Spirit, just understand that why you are here. We are here because of people that have gone before us. I'm here because of certain pastors. I'm here because of certain parents, certain grandmas that prayed over me. We are here because of Jesus Christ. I'm here because of Peter. I'm here because of James and John, the Apostle Paul. We are here because 1 million Christians danced with the lions before they died. We're here because of the blood of the martyrs. I'm here because of Billy Graham. I'm here because of Mother Teresa. I'm here because of Smith Wigglesworth. I'm here because of C.S. Lewis. We understand that we are product of men and women that have gone before us. We are built upon a foundation. And now we say, Lord, use us, use us, use us. Here we go. Use us, use us, use us, use us. Set us on fire, set us on fire. To fill you. Welcome him like you've never welcomed him. I know you welcomed him, but welcome him. It's a relationship. Holy Spirit, fill me, fill me. Amen. We're about to baptize. We're about to baptize. And I just believe that the Holy Spirit, as we baptize in water, I want you to be ready for the Holy Spirit to baptize you with fire. Holy Spirit. John saw the Holy Spirit fall on Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, church, pray with me. We're praying. Every prayer matters. Every welcome matters. Holy Ghost, wisdom. Wisdom, grace, strength. Holy Spirit, you're weaving something together. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Come on, let's give him some praise. Let's give him some praise. Let's give him some praise. Let's rip this roof off with a spirit of welcome. You're welcome in this place. Come on, church. Sing it out. Sing it. This generation, set every young person on fire. Separate them for your prayer. Separate them for your prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Touch this family. Lord, I pray, anoint her to preach the gospel in Jesus Christ. Touch her. Touch her. Touch her, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Fall fire, fall fire, fall fire. Every person in this place, let this be your cry. Fire of God, fall upon me. I welcome you. I welcome you. Come on, declare it. I give you all my worship.
Fire, fall, fire, fall.
Come on, Jesus.
Fall, you are here.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, before we close, I just want to pray for someone. It's been a tough time, specifically a dude. It's a new day. It's a new day. I see you know who you are. Thank you, Jesus. It's a dude. It's a new day. Be bold. It's been tough. God wants you to know it's a new day. It's a new day. Where are you at? Come on, man. I just want to give you my watch. It's a new day in Jesus' name. Just receive it. It's a new time. It's a new time. Take it now. Now. Receive the new. God said it's a new day. It's a new time. I'm bringing you in. Just receive that in Jesus' name. Some of us, we gotta let go. We gotta let go so we can open our hands for the new. One last time in this place. Let go and say, Lord, I give you all. I give you all. You to know the more specific you get with God, the more specific he'll get with you. God is calling you, because when you start to welcome him and you open up an hour, it's like this big old crazy welcome, and he gives grace to the humble, and you start to ask and you start to follow him and not asking him to follow you. The ultimate act of humility. That's why the ultimate act of grace is about to happen on your life. And when you get specific, God will start to speak. And he's about to speak and move in your life like you've never seen him. Your gift is so powerful. He just needed you to, he was just been preparing you. I just saw a couple of you. We got to get out of here. I just saw a couple of you. Powerful gift. You have no idea. But if the character wasn't at a level and the cross wasn't at a level, it could destroy your life and destroy your ministry. Because some of you have a gift that's so powerful, people, like they did Peter, they'll worship you. And you're not made for worship. You're not made for worship. But Jesus said, you'll do the things that I did and even greater. He raised himself from the dead. What's greater? The greater in so much. It's a mystery, and in so much is the growth of church and the growth of revival and the growth of health and the growth of marriage and the growth of miracles and young people and things that we've never seen before. But Jesus said, you'll build upon my ministry. So receive it. Acknowledge it so you can build on top of it.
and receive things that you never even sown into. But that's what's so beautiful about humility. So people can say, how do you preach that way? I can say, man, I think it's about 20 other preachers than me. How do you pray? It's, well, I think it's about 50 other prayer people, including my mom, that's in me. So you can raise your kids, and you don't have to be perfect, Martha. You just have to welcome it. Because Martha, your welcome changed and impacted Mary. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Our team's going to play a little bit. And if you want some prayer, come on up here. Yeah, let's give Jesus some praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. This is just the Holy Spirit. This is us welcoming the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Come and do whatever you want. Come and take over. We thank you. We welcome you. We welcome you. We give you everything. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
So many people who are like,